We're on the last few verses of 1 Thessalonians. Presently, we're studying through the 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go into 2 Thessalonians. But God, I want to talk about God's purpose, because when we get down to what we're going to read, it really kind of describes what we do on a Sunday and what we should be doing in our life, and eventually the purpose. So let's read our scripture together this morning. Brethren, pray for us with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And by the way, when he says holy brethren, he just means the saints. And who are the saints? Raise your hand if you're a saint. Okay, good. All right. Okay, so he's saying pray for each other, fellowship with each other, learn God's word, and accept grace and give out his grace. But the question I want to address this morning is, what's our purpose in getting together and working as a team in this church? The Hebrew writer says this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So the Hebrews writers say we need to be together, encourage each other, and to love each other and stir up good works. And why should we get together? Because our purpose is to work together and encouraging each other to do God's purpose. Are you following me with that? Our purpose is to do God's purpose. And God has a vision, and we have put that vision into a saying, which is loving God and people. That was the first and second commandment that Jesus gave. So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us, right? Amen. Okay. And then we have a mission here, and we've gone over this mission, and it's seven words: bringing in, building up, and serving together. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about bringing in, our responsibility to see that people come to Christ. Now we're going to enter this area of God's purpose in building up his mission. So let me clarify his purpose in the first place. Ephesians chapter 1, 9 through 10. Having made known to us, and he's talking to us as Gentiles, having made known to us the mystery of his will. And the mystery that he says in Ephesians and Colossians is that we now have Christ among us. It isn't just for Israel, but Christ among us, okay? And so, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, the administration of the fullness or completion of times, in other words, the last administration, he might gather together into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. So in the last age, whatever you've learned it in the past, we are all going to be together as one, fulfilling God's purpose. And so God wants us to, and this, by the way, if I went into the next few scriptures, it would be his unbendable purpose, his unchangeable purpose, and that is that we have Christ. Isn't that great? Yes. All right, so his is to gather all these people into his kingdom. And so he made us, and I want to use the word delegate since I had talked about the gossip, okay? He has delegated to the local church that we are the answer to a dying world. We are the ones that tell. With God's help, his power, and so on, we tell people how to come to Christ. So the first stage is his eternal purpose that we reunite people with God. We bring them to Christ, and they come to the knowledge of the truth. And we call that a spiritual birth in a person. And then stage two is his eternal purpose that we've entitled building up. That's a growth stage, the maturing stage of a person, and it takes most of our strength, our time, our patience, our organization, and work, and workers. And think about it. What happens when somebody comes to Christ? Okay? It's almost like children in a family, isn't it? Because they don't know anything. They don't know anything about Christ. And so we begin to, just like in the family, teach them and preach to them, counsel, encourage, sometimes even yell. Discipline them and help them to learn, grow, make decisions, become trustworthy, independent, and unified together, working God's purpose with all of us in our corner of the world. And so the goal or the purpose for each of us is maturity in Christ. That's your goal, is to become mature in Christ so you can do all three of these things, all right? And I'll talk about the three in a minute. So let me just give you a couple scriptures. Here's one in 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Okay? Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, and it means a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to become like Christ. That's the goal. That's our goal. Be like Christ. This is an audacious goal, isn't it? When you think about it. But it's reachable, or he wouldn't have told us to do it. But it starts by being an infant. Now, let me just illustrate this. You know, I remember when Debbie and I had our first baby, Stevie. Cutest baby in the world. Let's see, is John there? Okay. He was such a cute baby that everywhere we went, people would just come over and look at him because he had that perfect Gerber look, you know. And so I thought, you know, as a father, I wanted to be a good husband and a good father. And so I resolved to be a part of that child and any children we had, part of their family, raising them, diapering, feeding, playing, teaching, holding them, loving them, and guiding them to maturity. And so one particular day, as I was changing the diapers, I had my first infant baptism. Okay. If you know what I mean. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was changing him. I took his diapers off, and guess what? He peed in my face and in my eye. You know, and it's just like, oh my gosh. And so I looked over at Debbie for sympathy, and she was in hysteria rolling on the floor. And it was humbling, and it made me feel clumsy, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I don't know what I'm doing here. And I certainly couldn't tell Stevie, okay, do not ever pee in my eye again, right? He wouldn't have known, you know, he was a little baby. And so it almost made me want to quit changing diapers. But what was my goal? My goal was to bring him to maturity, change diapers, do those kind of things. So when we see someone come to Christ, it's like an infant. And they know very little, and they may think they know a lot. And a lot of people, at times I meet people who come to Christ and they feel like they really know the Word of God. And you ask them if they read it and they said no. They've just picked up little things here and there and added to them. We have to sometimes kind of dismantle all that and bring them into the truth. And just like Stevie, we have to educate them, answer the questions, help them understand life at a level that they can move through, and sometimes we have to hold back on the information because they're not ready for it. You know what I'm saying? So it takes a lot of time, and it takes every one of you to help do that to these new believers. You following me this morning? So what can we do with new believers? It takes organization, many people, to help a new believer grow up into Christ. And if we're not careful, we can begin to lose sight of what our purpose is. And in the body of Christ, and like, let me just use this church in particular, so many times when some of you get worn out and you begin to forget what the goal is, you forget what the vision is, you forget that these people need you to pour into their life to become mature in Christ, and pretty soon you're burned out and you want to do something different, quit reading your Bible and that kind of thing. And it's because you lost the vision. You lost the vision. You lost the purpose, and that is to serve God's purpose. That's what we're called to. We're not called to farms and cars and that type of thing. We're called to do His purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Now, easy said, a little tough, isn't it, in our society especially? These people, when they come to Christ, will stay immature in their spiritual growth if we don't help them, if we don't teach them, if we don't disciple them. And so, what if I had to stop changing Stevie and thought, you know what, I'm just giving up. I'm going to give up on them, and I'm just going to go do my own thing and let him raise himself. Wouldn't have been very good, would it? And if we're not careful, and we begin to lose sight of the purpose, we could hurt and injure a lot of people around us. They will stay immature for the remainder of their spiritual life, and we've all met them, right? We've all met them. Maybe many of you are that person, where you've gone 20 or 30 years, and you really don't know your Bible, you don't know what it says, and so on and so forth. I think we have to come to a place where we need to stand up. And I don't know if you're going to be able to follow me down the slides from here on out, but you and I are called to perform God's purpose. And that is, Christ is among us, and He wants us to mature in Christ, every one of us. And we call that building up. That's the second stage. So let me just give you the three stages, and I'll close. The first stage of His purpose is to see people come to Christ. The second stage is for us to help them in their growth. And then the third stage of His purpose is to serve together so that we have this dynamic circle that's going on and on and rolling and rolling. I tried to kind of see here. We get them saved, we get them mature, we served, and then pretty soon they help us, and then pretty soon those help us. And, there's a... can you go... Thank you. Here's Peter, Paul, and John. And just with Paul alone, look at all... I put names on all these little guys here that were his disciples. He had a ton more. I think I got all these out of Romans. And so they all became disciples. And, you know, here's the deal. They changed the world. They completely changed the world. And I'm not saying without God, with God. They completely changed the world because they began to multiply. And they knew what the purpose was. And in our modern day, we think the purpose is to retire or to have vacation or those kind of things that we need to plug our ear to. God's purpose is that we become mature in Christ. We bring people in, we build them up, and we get them serving with us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so I want to just close with this. I remember Hillary Clinton back when her husband was... the president, she says, it takes a village to raise a child. You remember that? Okay, that kind of went over like a lead balloon in a lot of corners. But I want you to think about this. If that village is a functioning, disciple-making church, then she was right.
Yep.
Right? It takes all of us.
Yep.
No one person can totally make another person mature. It takes many, many people. But if the village... is just a village, then she is dynamically wrong, because we know what will happen if we turn our kids over to the village, right?
Yep.
So I think it's time we return to Jesus, Paul, and Peter, making disciples, and then turning them into other disciples who in turn turn into other disciples. I would love it if you would stop this morning and think about where you are in this body of Christ. Are you helping us in the body of Christ? Are you following God's purpose? If you aren't, then today's a good day of change. If you are, man, I love you. I love what you're doing, and I'm going to support you in any way I can. If you're not and you want to, come see me. Come see somebody, one of the other leaders, and we'll do our best to help you get engaged. But there's a big metro out area out there that's under 5% churched. and it's pretty close to Cambodia's percentage in Christian. And so we don't have to go to Cambodia, do we?
Nope.
Nope, it's right across the street. Let's pray.